Great. Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Nick. As I said, shall we pray as we begin? Our great God and Father, we thank you that in Jesus Christ, you offer us something that is better than anything else this world has to offer. And we ask you, our Father, that this morning, as we gaze upon him once more, you would open our mouths to sing your praise. You would fill our hearts with joy. Amen. I'd love you to do something for me. I'd love you to think of a gift that you've received in your life that has made you joyful. Can you think of something that someone has given to you, maybe as a child, maybe more recently, that has brought you genuine joy? Here's what I brought along. Here's two little figurines. Now, these I got when I was about 15 years old. They come from the collector's edition of the Lord of the Rings DVD. My dad read me the book, Lord of the Rings, when I was 8 years old. It's always been my favorite book. We watched the film together. I saw the film 4 times at the cinema. And then when the DVD came out, my dad bought me the DVD with the collector's edition. And you may notice one of them has lost its head, but we won't talk about that. But every time I look at them, it genuinely brings me joy. I keep them in my study, and I look at them regularly because it reminds me of my dad. It reminds me of how much time he used to spend with me, and it fills me with joy. What about you? Can you think of a present that you've ever received that genuinely brings you that sense of joy? Oh, lovely. Yeah, great. Yeah. Oh, good. Good, lovely.
We have a candle of the Last Supper.
Yeah.
Gave us.
I thought as well. Yeah, wonderful. Wonderful. Well, what I want us to do this morning is I want us to gaze at a gift that is offered to each one of us that I think genuinely can bring joy. The passage we just had read, you may have noticed at the beginning there are people walking in darkness in verse 2, but then God increases their joy in verse 3. How does God do that? Well, we're just going to look at verse 6, but in verse 6, he gives them a gift. Have a look at verse 6 with me. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder. So this is, as you may know, this is a prediction about the birth of Jesus Christ. Christ, that is the gift that can bring joy to us. And in the second half of the verse, we get four different names that this gift is going to be called by. And each different one of them, if you like, is a different reason to rejoice. So what we're going to do this morning is we're just going to gaze together, if you like, at the gift. And we're going to look at the four different sides, the four different names, each a different reason for us to rejoice. Now, my hope is that for us here this morning, like that this gift has genuinely brought joy over the last 2,000 years to millions upon millions of people around the world. So for my prayer for us this morning, whether you'd consider yourself religious or not, is that as we gaze at this gift together, it might bring us joy. Whether that's for the first time or for the millionth time for you, that's my prayer. So we're going to look at these four different sides, these different names that he's given in the second half of verse 6. Look down at verse 6 with me again. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. First one, first name then, Wonderful Counselor. Now, do you know this, that in our society today, in the UK, counselling, the need for counselling, is absolutely exploding. I don't know if you know this, but I read some statistics this week. It's for all ages, the need for counselling is increasing. So, in the last 7 years, for children under 10, the requests for counselling have tripled in the last 7 years. Do you know how many young people have diagnosable mental health struggles? one out of four, a quarter of young people. And it's not just young people as well. Do you know how many, how the percentage of GP appointments these days that are about mental health? Any guesses, percentage?
30.
Any other guesses? It is 40%. 40% of all GP appointments are about mental health struggles. So what's happening is the NHS is absolutely ploughing resources and money they have for years into providing counselling services. But as you could probably guess, the counselling services are totally overrun. They're completely oversubscribed. Like, there is this deep need for counselling, for someone who can understand what we're going through and can walk with us through the fog and the pain and the struggles that we face. There is a desperate need for counselling. And look at this name of Jesus Christ here. He will be called Wonderful Counsellor. When Isaiah is talking about Jesus Christ here, I think he's talking about something even better than the NHS services. It's not just that Jesus is a good therapist that can listen really well, although obviously he can, and can ask really good questions, although obviously he can. No, in Jesus Christ, this gift, Jesus being a wonderful counselor, this is someone who can, to whom you can bring your deepest problems and struggles, and he will walk with you through them to show you the way out. See, when Jesus Christ grew up, he faced the worst things that this world has to throw at us. He has walked the path before us, and he offers to walk with us now through to show us the way out. So whatever we might be facing, whatever it might be, it's like he's saying to us, you're facing the path of pain? I've endured it. Of loneliness? I know it. Of betrayal? I know it. Of temptation, loss, heartache? I have walked those roads, and I want to walk with you now and show you the way through. In Jesus Christ, God is offering us a wonderful counselor. Now, even if you're not currently facing a struggle, that is a reason to rejoice, isn't it? To know that whatever I'm facing, whatever might come in the years, the rest of my life, whatever might come at me, to know I have got, from God, a wonderful counselor. That is good news. That is a reason to rejoice in a society that is struggling and broken. Wonderful counselor. That's the first name. Next name then, next side of the present, if you will. Look down at verse 6 with me. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. This child that was going to be born was going to be the Almighty God. Now, for a moment, I'd love just to talk to anyone here who is just looking into the Christian faith, if you wouldn't consider yourself a Christian yet. And I'd love just to imagine, okay, that beyond what we can see, there really is a God who made everything and rules everything. He's almighty. Like, wouldn't you like to know that that God is on your side? That he's in your corner as you face the fears and struggles of this life? Wouldn't that be wonderful? You see, the claim here in this verse is that that first Christmas in Jesus Christ, the God who lies beyond this world, the mighty God, came into history. He was born as a child. And as that child grew, we've got four accounts of his life, four eyewitness accounts of his life. Those accounts all say that he could do things that only the Almighty God could do. When he encountered problems in people's lives, he dealt with them with a power that only the Almighty God has. And that in this child, in Christ, it's not just that the power of God comes, but if you like, that power can be present to us in our lives now. So that whatever we're facing, we can know that he is on our side. One thing we've all got in common here in this room, we all face brokenness in our lives, don't we? Everyone here, we can each think of different fears. I'm sure you can think of fears you might have, struggles you might have, pains in your life that you might have. Maybe things that are so dark or painful that you hardly dare admit them even to yourself. Well, Jesus Christ says to us, I am the mighty God, offering to be in your corner for all that you face in life. Like, if you're a Christian here today and you've received Jesus, you have him. You have the mighty God in your corner, backing you up for all that you face in life. That is another reason to rejoice. He's the wonderful counselor. He's the mighty God. Next then, next side of the presence. Wait, which way did I turn it? I turned it this way. Next side of the present, next name. He shall be called, have a look down at verse 6. Wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father. Father. Now look, there's a word that will create a different reaction in each one of us in the room. The word Father. Steve Martin, comedian, once said, a father is a man who has pictures in his wallet where his money used to be. Father. But look, for every one of us, that word father is going to create a different reaction. For some of us here, you hear that word father, we're full of happy memories. For some of us, that word father will be come with sadness. The sadness of loss, the sadness of being abandoned. I mean, we just heard Laura just lost her father last night. Father. It's a well-documented fact, isn't it, that a relationship with our fathers can just have a huge impact on the rest of our lives. For good or for ill. That for many people sort of head through life with a confidence, knowing that they've been loved and cared for. For other people, many go through life with a desperation to prove themselves because of a difficult relationship with their father. And if a father's not there, it can leave such a hole, can't it? I remember a man I got to know years ago, and he was wonderful. He was the kind of man that was the life and soul of the party. Have you ever met anyone like that? You know, he would walk in, he just lights up the room, he's laughing, he's smiling, his lovely smile, chatting to everyone. But as I got to know him more and more, I realized that sort of behind that confidence, he was way less confident than I first sort of thought. I noticed gradually that he had almost no close friends. And although he was like really eligible, really, you know, attractive and successful, and there was a lot of people that were interested in him romantically, He could never sort of respond to that kind of attention. And I got to know him better and better, and we had this long car journey together, and we got talking about some of these things. And I remember him saying to me that, he said that when someone's interested in me in that way, it feels really wrong to me. And I said, how, why? And he told me that when he was a small child, his father sent him away to live with another family. Didn't want him, sent him away. And he said something that really stuck with me. He said, if my dad, who was meant to love me, didn't want me, then surely there must be something deeply wrong with me. So now when people come and say they, you know, offer light, it feels wrong to me. That was so sad, I almost crashed the car. It was a desperately sad conversation that we had. Poor, poor guy. If a father is not there, it leaves such a hole in people's lives, doesn't it? Now look here, when it says here that Jesus Christ is called the everlasting Father, the idea here is that he is always there. That fatherly care that every one of us longs for is always there. We all long, don't we, for that kind of someone, that strong voice who loves and who leads and who reaches in. Well, through Jesus Christ, we can have a Father who is always there. Notice, look at it again. Notice it says the everlasting Father. See, whether good or bad, all of our fathers either have or will one day die. But the relationship that Jesus Christ brings us into with God, he's like an everlasting Father, even through death. It cannot be broken. Through Jesus, we have a Father who is always there, that whatever may come, you can know underneath you the everlasting arms holding you. Now, my dad died 14 years ago. Laura's dad died last night. But let me tell you, Laura and I are not fatherless. Because of verse 6. Because of this gift that God offers to us and to each one here in this room today. Let me tell you, in my soul, that is a reason to rejoice. That is a reason to rejoice. He's always there. Always there. Everlasting Father. Final one then. Final one. Final side. Final name. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Now, this word peace in the Bible, you might not know, it's the Hebrew word is shalom. What it means is, it means sort of total well-being. It means sort of well-being in your mind and in your heart, but more than that, also in your relationships with other people, in your community around you. It's a broad term that means total well-being. And this says that Jesus is the Prince of that. How does that work? What is it talking about? Well, look, in the Bible, when it comes to peace, there is a link between the vertical, our peace with God, and the horizontal, our peace in our hearts and with other people. There's a link. So look, back at the beginning of the Bible, you may know this. At the beginning of the Bible, the idea is that humanity lived in perfect peace, okay? Peace with God, peace with each other, peace with the world around. But that peace with God, the vertical, got broken when we turned away from him. That peace with God, if you like, got broken. And when that happened, it didn't just stay between us and God, it seeped into the rest of life. So that is when people started to feel guilt and shame and struggle in their own hearts. That is when they started to feel anger and resentment towards other people. That crack that started in our relationship with God spread out, and even to our relationship with the rest of the world. And that is the world that we live in, isn't it? There's a lack of peace. That's why for many of us, even this Christmas is going to be a struggle. There are going to be arguments, and there's going to be loss, and there is going to be pain. You know, Brussels sprouts flying around the table, or whatever it might be. That's the world we live in. A world with a lack of peace. But this verse says that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. What is that talking about? Well, the idea is that when Jesus Christ dies on the cross for you and I, he restores our peace in the vertical. He brings us back into peace with God the Father. And when that happens, when that peace seeps down into our lives, it starts to transform our hearts. And from there, it seeps over into our relationships with other people and into our communities, so that by God's Spirit, we can start to begin to become peacemakers with others. He restores us to the vertical by dying in our place, and that then seeps down into our hearts. That peace with God begins to overflow into the rest of our lives. Now, that's never perfect in this life until Jesus Christ returns, but it begins. So for you and I this Christmas, when we're struggling with a lack of peace in our lives, what do we do? What do I do? We retreat to remind ourselves, to remember the peace that we have with that God has given us. Like a fountain, I throw myself into the peace that I have with God. I drink from it deeply, refresh myself in the peace that God gives me with him. And from that place of peace, can head back out into the world to try to become a peacemaker with others. From that place of stillness and peace with God. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He is the one that brings us peace with God that can overflow into the rest of our lives. So, those are the four sides of the gift then. Four different names. He is the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What are you and I going to do with this then this morning? How are you and I going to respond to this wonderful gift this morning? Two things. Firstly, receive this gift. Now, if you're here this morning and you know that you've never received Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life, you could do that this morning. This gift genuinely can be yours. It is just a prayer away. Very simple prayer saying to God, look, I want this. I want you. I turn back to you now. It's a prayer away. And this gift can be yours. So receive it. Receive it. That's the first thing. But for those of us that have kind of already received this gift, what are we to do? Well, look, I think just rejoice. Rejoice again in this gift that God has already given you. I know how it works. We're busy, aren't we? It's Christmas. We're very distracted. There's a lot going on, isn't there? And we're tempted to look to all sorts of other places for our joy. But this Christmas again, remember and rejoice in the gift that God has already given you in Jesus Christ. He is a wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So gaze on him again and rejoice. Shall we pray to finish? Our great God and Father, we thank you so much that in Christ you've given us the greatest thing this world has to afford. We thank you so much for the gift that he is and all that he means to us. Help us again to rejoice in him. Amen.